God is so good, isn't he? Amen. Well, Brother Peter, come right on. Brother Peter Swart is a South African who has moved to Canada, got citizenship there, and he is living in the United States, and he is, with the power of God and the message of the grace of God, lives are being transformed. Now, I have to say this by the Spirit of the Lord. God is going to impact you today. Somebody is here, and you've been without hope. You have thought, why even try? But today is a new day, and I believe you're going to have an encounter with the love of God that you will never forget, that will change the course of your life to where it's going to be so drastic of a change for the rest of your life, you'll say, that day, my life changed. Amen. Brother Peter, come right on, brother.
Amen. Good morning. I'm really privileged to be with you this morning. And Pastor Cecil and Mister, they are such a blessing to me. You know, looking at their lives, taking on the message of grace. And every time that I sit down with them and talk to them, I'm just amazed when I leave. And I just thank God for a miracle. Don't you think they're a miracle? They could have been bound in religion and keep on keeping you blind. But they are teaching this awesome message that just open the eyes of your heart and establish you in a new, wonderful relationship with God. How many of you know when you discover the message of grace and the love of the Father, it's like you fall in love with God all over again. It's like a new day. And it's so beautiful. And saying that, I am not going to focus so strong on grace this morning, although the whole new covenant is based on grace. But I'm going to turn a little bit this morning, and I'm going to talk about, I don't even know why I say that. It's probably wrong of me to say I'm not going to minister on grace. I always end up with grace. But we are saved by grace through faith. And we have started this journey by grace. And we will finish it by grace and faith. There's no other way that you can do this. So this morning, say to the person next to you, you're amazing. Because this day we are just a group of amazing people here. You have the life of Christ in you. You are not just an ordinary person. And at this stage, some of you hear me for the first time. You probably have to pay attention until you get out of the Missouri language. And then start to realize, okay, this is a little bit different. But I think this is why God keep it for me very simple. My message is always simple. So today I'm going to speak about the last instructions of Jesus. The last instructions of Jesus. And just before he died. How many of you agree with me if you know that you're going to die tomorrow? Excuse me. If you know you're going to die tomorrow, you're really going to give serious instructions. This will be the last instructions. You agree with me on that? You're going to say to people things that is really important. And Jesus had a bunch of knuckleheads around him. And just like us. And he had to prepare them, man, because there is some trouble coming. He's on his way to the cross, and stuff is going to change now radically. And these guys, their minds is going to be blown away. We didn't expect this is going to happen, you know. This is going to shock them, and he knows this is going to shock them. So he's beginning to teach them, and he's giving them last instructions. And one thing that I saw in John 14, 15, and 16, if you have your Bible, I'm going to stand quite still there this morning in that area. Where Jesus began to give them the last instructions. And the first thing that happened there is Peter said to him, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I will go with you. I will die with you. You know, that was a huge mistake. I mean, the first thing that Peter always say the wrong things, very much like me. I always say things I should have shut up, and then I say it. And then I say, oh, those words is out. Come back. But it's too late. It's out there. How many of you have done that in the past? You said things, oh, it's too late now. I shouldn't have said that. But Peter say, and Jesus say to me, before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times. And normally, we stop there at the end of chapter 13. But Jesus didn't stop. He was still talking. And then he said to Peter, and I'm going to use my translation. He said, don't worry, Peter. He goes on. He says, but let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house is many mansions. And he wasn't talking about heaven. Although it is heaven, but he was talking about the family of God that's going to come together by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Father's house is going to come together. And all of us is today together in God's house. As we gather together, we are all part of the family of the Father. And we have a dwelling in him. And he dwells in us. And today, I will focus strong on prayer. How many of you pray, have a prayer life? All of us have a prayer life. Excuse me. Prayer, in reality, for me, have changed since I come into grace. Prayer have completely changed. My prayer life has changed into more fellowship with God. And Jesus, I was always amazed with Jesus praying the night through. Have you seen that? That he prayed nights through. You know, I once organized a night prayer at the church. Man, I think when we hit 1 o'clock in the morning, I begin to pray, Jesus, just keep me alive and awake till the sun come up. I mean, really, this is tough. Why did I organize this? I mean, how many of you know after an hour you have asked everything you want to ask and now you don't know what to ask anymore? Now it's like, okay, we have bind every demon over this town. That was in the religious days. We have bind every demon. We have rebuked every devil that we can think of. We have prayed even to the last problem that you can think of and now there's nothing. What are we going to do now? You know, and here is Jesus praying at night through. I said, what do you do the whole night? Come on, isn't there a huge standard to this? Can't you just slack a little bit, you know? But, you know, the Greek word, the Aramaic word that Jesus used here for prayer is slopha. And it actually means to be engaged in relationship where one person come and capture your heart or set a trap for your heart. And Jesus was open to the Father the whole night, waiting that the Father capture his heart with new revelations and new things. That's why in Jesus' ministry, being led by the Spirit of God, you would see that he would arrive at the bath of Siloam and he only pray for one sick guy and walk away. Because I believe he would walk in and he see that guy and say, oh, Father, that's that guy that you showed me last night in prayer. Are you guys with me? Oh, and the way that he was functioning, he was led by the Spirit of God because Jesus says the Son can do nothing unless the Father shows him. And that was his lifestyle. And I'm challenged by that lifestyle. How many of you are challenged? That's an awesome lifestyle to be in that place that you do what the Father shows you. Thank you for enthusiasm. You may sit down now. You guys are with me here this morning. So prayer, I've realized in my own prayer life, I was in the last 6 months so challenged in my relationship with God, especially in the area of faith. And faith and belief is completely different because belief is that your mind rests in the integrity of someone else. That's belief that I got from Bertie Brits. But faith means my heart is absolutely persuaded with the finished work of Jesus Christ. My heart is persuaded with the reality of the gospel being preached to me. It persuades my heart. And I believe and have absolute confidence that what he say is true and is going to manifest. Now, if you discover in the book of Proverbs 4, verse 23, he say, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Now, if we jump over to Romans 10, verse 10, then he say, with the heart we believe. Jesus also says to Peter, let not your heart be troubled. So with the heart you believe, but in what is so amazing, if you go back to Proverbs 4:23, say, above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. But that word wellspring in the original Hebrew means the boundaries of your life. So your life is set out and it cannot live beyond what you believe. You are stuck to what you believe. So today, your life, where you are today, how you think, what you do, how you experience this journey that you are in right now is a result of your own beliefs in your heart. See, you would sit right now and say, Peter, this does not look good. If I have to have a quick glimpse of my life now, I'm actually not where I want to be. How many of you are here this morning and say, man, I'm actually not living where I really want to live? It's very holy here. Nobody put their hands up, but God bless you. I know you. So, but we set boundaries for our own hearts. Did you know that? That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Okay? And we go through storms in this life. How many of you at this stage and at this age of your life realize that life is sometimes a surprise? That stuff happens. Stuff happens to good people. But God is good. God has overcome the world. And we can so easily be pulled into situations and it overwhelms us that we actually set a boundary for ourselves. We can't break out of it. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because in the same context, Jesus began to encourage them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. People, the Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you, never fail you. He's always with you. See, we come out of old teachings where we have heard, oh, the Holy Spirit just left the church and that's why we don't have healings here. How stupid can you be? How dumb can you be and still breathe by saying stuff like that? Jesus says, I send you someone exactly the same as me. Exact that word. He says, I send you another helper. That word, another, in the Greek is not heteros. Heteros is the difference. It's as different as me and this, as this piano. Are you guys with me? He said, I send, that word allos means I send you someone exactly the same as me. So did Jesus condemn? No. Did he point the finger? No. Did he judge? No. He healed everybody that came to him. He provided for the poor. Jesus loved on people. He accepted everybody. The Holy Spirit is exactly the same. I don't have time this morning to go into those teachings because you actually need the whole teaching to get your mind renewed in the area of the Holy Spirit, because we have heard so many bad teachings of him. I've heard teachings of him that at one stage I thought that the Holy Spirit is just this piece of fire that goes through the church when he likes it. But he's not. He's a person. And he's with you. And he's the one that empowers you. The things that you cannot do, the boundaries that you have in your heart today can be broken down by the power of the Holy Spirit that is with you. So, see, some of you sit here and say, for instance, your income per month is $4,000. I'm just using an illustration. Maybe 2,000, maybe 10,000. God bless you when it's 10,000. I mean, but here's the point that I want to make is some of us is, that's the boundary that we have been set through the world in our hearts, and we think we are stuck to that and God can't go beyond that. And we think we can't live beyond that. I don't want to talk about money. Some of us sit with sickness in our body and there's a boundary in our heart that blocks it, and we have accepted the reality and it's like a status quo, and we actually establish our lives to cope with that situation, and we just function as someone who just survived through that situation. That's because of a boundary that's in your heart. Man, I want to say to you, I want to challenge you this morning, man. I want to, because there's things that Jesus have said, and the gospel is true. The gospel, you see, Jesus says, see, I don't have the power to change you. There's no person who have the power to transform or change you. But know what Paul say? Paul say in Romans 1, 16 and 17, he says, I'm not ashamed of the good news, the euangelion, the too good to be true news. He said, I'm not ashamed, for it is a power unto salvation. So the gospel, the good news that I'm going to preach to you today, have the power to set you free, to save you from the situation that you are in. And that is so awesome, man. I love this gospel. It's good news. If someone preaches good bad news, if someone begins to say you got to do this to get God to bless you, Run like a man on fire. Leave that place as fast as possible, because the new covenant is based on what God has already done for you. Right now in the spirit, you got it. You have it. So you need to receive, because this new covenant is all about receive. It's not about what you do. It's not about you who jump through the hurdles and come and live up to a standard so that God can do something special for you. No, it's already done. You just need to receive it. The boundaries in your heart needs to come down. See, Paul, the writer of Proverbs, say in Proverbs 23:7, he say, as he think in his heart, so is he. So your thinking that's in the core center of your life is what is driving your life, or it is automatically guiding your life. Amen? But I want to tell you something this morning. The gospel got the power, man. Jesus have come to set us free. Now, you know what is interesting? Is that people in this day and age, I realize, I talk to the Father a lot about it, especially when you're on Facebook, then you will discover that a lot of your friends have all kinds of different doctrines. And sometimes I battle with it, and I look through these things, and I discover there's people who are continuously searching for an answer, searching for a new revelation. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. I'm always living for the reality of getting new revelation. Are you guys with me? Because this whole, your new life in Christ need to be revealed. Your mind is dark when you come to Christ. And it's by the help of the Holy Spirit that your whole life is renewed. And you begin to see who God really is. And as you see God, you see yourself. Because your life is a reflection of how you see God and how you understand Him. That's a mouthful right there. You with me? That's my words that I use. But Jesus came and He made it so simple. See, mankind always make things difficult. The gospel is very simple. Jesus came and made it very simple. You know, and this is what He said. I love this in John 14. He said in verse 20 to 21, in that day, what day? The day when the Holy Spirit comes. He's talking about the helper, the Holy Spirit is coming, okay? In that day, you will know that I'm in the Father, in you and me, and I in you. Right there, every doctrine go down, because that's the reality. God is dwelling in you. Come on. Come on, say in that day. That's the. How many of you agree with me that the Holy Spirit have already arrived 2,000 years ago? He says, you will know. This knowing is not just intellectual information. This knowing is gnosko. It is based, it is derived from the Hebrew word where two people know one another intimately. You will intimately know that Jesus is in the Father and He in the Father and you in Him and I in Him. Right now as I stand here, I am in the Father in Jesus Christ. You are in Him. He is in you. That's the key code of understanding the new covenant. God is already in you. And the fullness of God has arrived in you. That's why Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, and you are complete in Him. So everything you need is deposited in your spirit in Christ. You just need to get revelation knowledge that come up in your heart, and that it break down that boundaries, because the Holy Spirit got the power to break that down today. Renew your mind. There's nothing more stronger or more powerful than when the Holy Spirit bring revelation to your heart. Amen. I'm just going to go through some verses here to encourage you. Can I do that? Jesus say in John 14, 15 to 18, Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that sounds very religious. Huh? It sounds like Jesus put a demand on you and say, you have to love me and you have to keep my commandments. Hold your friend's hand, because I'm going to shake you up of that piece now. Because it's a wrong translation right there. Okay? We go on. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Come on, people. You are not on your own in this Christian walk. You have a helper. When is the last time that you asked the Holy Spirit, say to him, Holy Spirit, I got a boundary. It's like I can't break through. It's like I'm stuck in this place. Can you just help me? Help me, Holy Spirit, that I can break out of the barriers of this thing that holds me back in life. That I receive my healing, my provision. I have emotional issues. I struggle with rejection. I struggle with relationships. Can you just break down that things in my heart that have held me back? You guys still with me? I like to say that, with me. And that he may abide with you forever. Not for a short period of time, forever. You know how long is forever? That's very long. He's going to outlive you. It's like this friend of mine, a demon manifested in his office in a woman, and this man voice came out of her. You know, it's weird when a woman have a man voice. I mean, you will immediately know something is wrong here. I mean, she spoke to him and says, who are you to try to cast me out? I'm roaming the earth for 800 years. And he looked at this woman, he realized there's the demon speaking to him. He says, oh yes. He says, the spirit that is in me is roaming the earth for more than 6,000 years. So you shut up and come out. Are you with me? So the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And that's really important that you see that word world. The world that we think is the world that we look at all the bad things that happen. The world that Jesus was referring to is a different world. It's a religious world that he was referring to. He said the religious world cannot receive him. Not the people living, all people in the world can receive the Holy Spirit. It's those who are bound by the religious world. Listen to what John say. First John 5:18, he say, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That word wicked in the original Greek is poneros, and it means toiling, hardships, annoyances, and frustration. So we say the whole world lies under the sway of toiling, performance-based life, being a Pharisee, pretend not who you really are. He said the whole world lies under that sway. So that's the world that Jesus is talking about. He says those who are into performance-based Christianity, they cannot receive him. They struggle to function with him, although he's with them, but they struggle to receive him so that he guide them. Amen. And that they come free from the things that hold them back. Now let's go on. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Isn't that beautiful? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is speaking futuristic here now. Now, the word command, before I go to that word command, I want to read to you one more verse. John 14:16. I already read that to you. The word command that Jesus used here in the Greek, can I break it up for you? And your pastor can go and check and see if I lie, because it's easy to go into a Strong's Concordance and check it up. It's really easy. And listen to what he said. The word for command here is entole, which is a noun. And it is rooted in the word entele, which is a verb. Okay? That is just Greek words. You don't need to remember that. I just want to explain something. Which exists of two words. En, meaning in or out of. And telos, meaning the final end. Okay, let that sink in a little bit. Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments of Moses here. He said, my commandment is that you rest in my final end. What is the final end? When he hang on that cross, he say, it is finished. When he rose from the dead and he sat down on the right hand of the Father, it is finished. So he say, you will love me when you understand the revelation of this and rest in what I have already done for you. When you come to the revelation of what I have already done for you, you will fall in love with me. Isn't that beautiful, huh? That's the gospel. See, people just throw words in there. The old religious people, the King James Version, all those, they just translate stuff as they think it's right. They don't bring it out in the original Greek. But God wants you to understand that you can rest in his final end. Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So with other words, he says, your love will be derived from the fact that you discover how I have restored you, how I have made you alive, how I have put my life in you, how I have forgiven you past, present, and future, how I have made you righteous, freely, without any works. He says, when you understand that, when you rest in that, you will be have a love for me, man. You will walk in a love. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful? Wow. You are not, we are in a marriage covenant with him. You are not in a gunshot marriage. They point a gun at you, you will marry this. You know, the law is like, you better love me or else, you know. You better marry me or else, you know. I point a gun. No. We are in a new covenant. Isn't that awesome? I point my gun at you and say, you better. No. He came as the bridegroom, and he begin to charm you with the gospel through the Holy Spirit. And you just see how amazing is this man who represents the Father, because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he just come and he bring the Father full out to you, and he open up his face, and you just look at him and you say to yourself, whoa, God, I never knew that's who you are. You are so amazing. Let's go into page 2 of page 10 pages that's ahead here. You guys ready for 3 o'clock this afternoon lunch? Should have brought your lunch box with you. I'm joking, okay? Speaking the truth. Okay. I want to go into another passage here in because, you know, there's power in asking. See, if you have boundaries in your heart and you ask God stuff, you will ask, but you will have a subtle inner voice that almost say to you, you don't deserve to have it. You don't deserve to be healed. Look how messed up is your life. You don't deserve to be blessed. It's a subtle voice in you. You don't maybe say it or think it, but there's something wrong with me. It's like, I hope maybe God will do it for me. I know. How many of you sit here this morning and you know God can do it? He can do it. And God will do it. But you know what? That's not faith. Faith says God has already done it. That's different. Faith says, my heart is persuaded. He has already done it. I receive it. I don't see the manifestation now, but I got it. The manifestation in the spirit, I got it. So I just, in peace, patiently wait until the manifestation is there. Amen. Living in joy, rejoicing, thanking him. Amen. And you stop the begging. When will God come and do it? That's religion. That's like a carrot in front of an ass's mouth. And he follow. You know what's an ass? A donkey, okay. That's the wrong word that I use here. You always be careful when I'm in the church. It's just, I won't. I've learned my lesson. But if you go with me in your Bible this morning in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, are you happy so far? You still don't want to drive me out with sticks and swords here? You're still okay? Okay. Right. Listen to what he's saying in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Isn't that beautiful? Ask. Just ask. When is the last time you stop? Don't you think it's time you just say, okay, Jesus, I cut out all this begging prayers. I stop that now. Here's the reality. I need this. And I thank you. You know my need. There's no secret here. And I thank you that you've already provided it. Hallelujah. We're going on. Worshiping, thanking him. Isn't that awesome? Now, let me tell you a story. The last church that I pastored before the Father called me to begin to travel full time, I planted this church, and we sit in a hall bigger than this, and the hall was painted green. I've planted churches all my life. I was in school cafeterias and all kinds of halls and hotel halls and stuff. I know what it is. I know what it is to pack out chairs every Sunday and help the guys with the sound system and stuff like that. And so here I am in this that morning in this green hall, and we are like five people sitting there. I know I'm in the Father's will. But that day, we were like going like 2-3 months, and I don't see results, man. So now I begin to complain because I'm looking in the natural. And the guy who led the praise and worship that morning, he was not pre-leading praise and worship. He was puking over us because he was, puke, that's the word that I use, puke. He was literally puking over us because he was so depressed and negative. I mean, it's like he led us with praise and worship, but it felt like he puked over us. You understand now what I say? So here I sit in this situation, and I'm like, Jesus, this is not good. You know, this is, I'm going to be honest with you. If you were in my shoes, you would be depressed. I mean, come on. The hall is green. This guy is leading us further into depression with the praise of worship. I mean, you know, and here we stand, you know, and and the worship was so bad, the one lady that was standing in front of me, she turned around and she said, I just want to know, Pastor, is this April Fool's Day? I'm like, wow, you know. So how can it get worse than this? And I said, no, we didn't pull a trick on you. The next moment, Jesus is in a vision right in front of me. My eyes of my heart open, and I saw him in a vision standing in front of me laughing with his hand like this, with a gift wrapped in gold in his hand like this, standing and laughing at me. And I thought, okay, do you want us to move in the gifts here right now in this atmosphere? I mean, this is like, and then the next moment he came forward and he pushed it into me. And like, whoa, I felt the presence of God. And he says, just do what I've called you to do. And I went home. I was so anointed. And I preached to that five people as if it's 10,000 people. Like Spurgeon preached without a microphone to 10,000 people. It really happened. But anyway, so I went home and said, Father, what? He said, I've told you to plant churches. Just do what I tell you to. I said, but I did. He said, plant more. And I'm like, okay. And then suddenly, how many of you know then the wheels begin to work? A boundary came down in me because I was looking at the situation. And I knew Glasgow, Halifax. I know people there. I begin to contact people. The next moment, we had a second service on a Sunday in Halifax. We had another service on Thursday night. And suddenly there was three churches. And when I did that, our church began to grow. And we moved into our own building. And God just began to, I said, just do what I tell you to do. Sometimes we lost focus. Are you guys with me? I had a boundary because I was looking at this one little thing. And he said, there's so much more. Just hear his voice. Are you guys with me? That's a very simple illustration. But you sit here maybe and you struggle and you need healing in your body. You have relationship issues. I don't know. It may be emotional issues. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit, we're going to look at more of this now. The Holy Spirit got such power today to do something in your life. Manifesting that which Jesus has already done for you. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Because the work is done and the Holy Spirit is with you to manifest that. See, Jesus says, He will glorify me, for He will take what belonged to me and make it known to you. You know what that means? Jesus is dwelling inside of you. The Holy Spirit, take that which is inside of you, make it known to your heart, and it will glorify Christ in you. How many of you know that when you are healed, Christ is glorified? Come on. When you are set free, Christ is glorified. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't take Him out of the church. Sometimes we begin to teach and teach and teach, and it's just humanism on the end of the day, and we don't have a move of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of people. Amen? Okay, you still with me? Now let's read further on here. It says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open, for everyone who asks receives. Isn't that good? And he who seeks finds, and he who knocks will be opened. Or what man is there among you? Listen careful now. Who, if his son asks a bread, will give him a stone? Or ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then being evil, say evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now this word evil here again in the Greek is poneros again, which is those who are in toiling, in hardships, in laboring, who work every day, and who is frustrated and annoyed. He says people who work in this world to gain things, they will give to their children. He says, how much your heavenly Father, who have completed the work, who rest in the finished work, will give you. Are you guys with me? So if you jump over to Luke 11, then Jesus used the same passage. But here he say, I'm just going to read to you verse 30. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, now he give it different here, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Okay? But the original Greek doesn't say that. Because it always bothers me. It says, okay, God, can we, is the two, Luke and Matthew, confused? Because Matthew say, ask anything and you can have it. You ask good things and the Father will give it to you. And then here comes Luke and he say, ask for more of the Holy Spirit. But the word here in the Greek is, and again, he says, who ask from the Father, he says, who ask will receive out of the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? That's what the word, the Greek or original Greek really say. Receive out of the Holy Spirit good things. Isn't it beautiful? Because the Holy Spirit is with us always. Now listen to what he say in, I need to put this in here. But we all know that Paul say in Romans that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the reign of God is in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the one who reveals the reign of God to you. Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. So the Holy Spirit is the one who imparts this grace to your heart. Make it known to your heart, whatever you need in the kingdom of God. And you know what? Once the boundaries in your heart come down, it's almost like it escalates, to put it that way. The first boundary that needs to come down in your heart today, the most important boundary, is the fact that you are not a sinner. That's the first boundary that the gospel break down. You are not a sinner. You are as righteous as Jesus is right now. Just because you believe, not because of anything that you have done. So the kingdom of God is righteousness. That's the first boundary that come down. Hey, I'm innocent. Whoa. I stand before God just as if I've never sinned. Woo! But the word righteousness also means that I have a right to the promises of God. Because he made me innocent. Are you guys with me? I have a right to the inheritance that I have in Jesus. I have a right to the kingdom of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the first boundary that needs to come down. The second boundary that comes down, once you understand that, then all fear goes, peace fill your heart. And the next step is you escalate into joy. And joy, I've seen where there is joy, there's miracles, man. Woo! You want to see the manifestation of God where there's a lot of joy. You come into a depressed place, you don't see much happening there. Man, I've preached in depressed churches, I'm telling you right now. Those people sit and look at you like deer in headlights. Man, it's like, Jesus, what can I do? What can I say more? Are you with me? The pastor is depressed. The wife is depressed. Everybody is depressed. You have to go and preach in that situation. Anyway, I was invited to a very religious church to preach somewhere in Canada. I won't tell you where. And they know nothing about grace, and I have to come and lay the foundation of grace. And my friend David Williston, he's up in Canada. He's a real wild man, very powerful preacher. He had to introduce me because the pastor don't know me, this guy. And he came up to the pulpit and he said, "This is Peter Swart, my friend." And he talked about me. And then he said, "I want to tell you guys right now, I am as holy as Jesus is right now." And he gave me the mic and walked away. And I'm like, now I have to fix all that nonsense that you've said. Now, I call it nonsense, but to those people, I mean, this is... Say to those traditional people, "I am as holy as Jesus is right now." Here, Peter. It's like, are you with me? Man, I had to work through all that stuff in that. The pastor is like already skeptical. I mean, and David make this statement, you know, and you are in situations like that. But if you come into a setup where people hear the gospel and it brings joy, oh man, joy is an absolute confidence that God has done it and God is for me. Are you with me? And God have heard my prayers. That is what joy is about. And if you don't have confidence today towards God in your prayer life, then there's a boundary somewhere. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that will point it out. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? So listen to what Jesus say. Jesus say, I like it so much. Jesus say, just stop me, Pastor, if I preach long. Listen to what Jesus say. Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, he said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have them." Believe that you receive. Come on. He don't say, you must believe after I've given it to you. He say, you must believe before it manifests. You must believe that you have received it before it manifests. Come on. Isn't it beautiful? What father will give to his children if they ask him? Jesus said, if they ask him, you are evil, give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly father? He used that illustration. So therefore, you can ask and you know you got it. Amen? Say, I got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus say in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow. Come on, people. You are in a relationship where you can ask. You are free to ask. You have a right to ask. Come on. Come on, you have a right to ask. This is so beautiful, man. This gospel is so beautiful. Listen though, I'm just giving you scriptures today so that you know I don't suck it out of my thumb. John 16, verse 23 to 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Come on, people. Let me tell you something. If you receive something, if you receive a gift, don't you think it's joyful, huh? Man, I'm telling you, I grew up in Africa, in South Africa. At the age of 41, I immigrated to North America. But we in Africa, we didn't need shoes when we were kids. We ran around barefoot. I could run through thorns, man. We had like our own soul underneath our feet. Are you guys with me? We could do it, man. But it was always to me amazing to see people with shoes on, other kids with shoes on. And I remember when I went to school, it was compulsory that they have to buy me a pair of shoes, my mom and dad. That was the biggest moment in my life as a kid to have. I didn't take it off. I went to bed with my shoes on. I refuse to take my shoes off. My mother said, "You can't sleep with your shoes on." I refuse, man. They had to leave me that I can sleep with my shoes on. That was the biggest moment in my life ever. I mean, have shoes. I mean, I could run around with that stuff. I mean, when I got my first pair of sneakers, I thought, now I'm fast. I run around, I'm fast with my, you know, it was big moments in my life. I was so happy and so joyful about that shoes. I want everybody to see my shoes. Are you with me? How many of you know that when you receive a gift, you are excited? Huh? I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit the first time, I was so excited. It was such a big moment in my life. Amen? God don't want to hold anything back from you. In fact, He has already given it. We just have to begin to thank Him and praise Him for that. Amen. Living a life of thanksgiving that He's already given to us. Amen. That your joy may be full. I love that. Amen. Hallelujah. So here is the thing that I want to deal with you, and I'm going to close down with it. I'm coming to an end here. I remember, I'm telling you the story, and then I got three more verses, and I'm done. Do I preach long? Am I still okay? Okay. I was in a very traditional Bible school, and I was born again in a Pentecostal church where the pastor preaches grace in 1993. That was a big moment. I got saved there. We have seen some powerful things happen there. And then I went to the Afrikaans Baptist Seminary. I went because I couldn't speak English. Not one word. So I had to go. Those guys, all the teachings was in Afrikaans. So I had to go there. We speak Afrikaans in South Africa. But they messed me up in 2 years' time. Completely messed me up. I mean, not that I have anything against the Baptists, but it was theological teachings. And because of theological teachings, I begin to fall out of the reality of having an intimate relationship with God, become all head knowledge and stuff. And God never called me for stuff like that. Are you guys with me? And it's not their fault. It's not the Baptist's fault. They do their curriculum. They do their program. You pay and you do the... Are you guys with me? But anyway, one day, I pick up the newspaper. And there was this guy, a well-known guy. He got a church of about 3,000 members, not far from where I was in Bible school. And he was on the front page of the most important newspaper, the Report. That was the newspaper's name. And the media was at his church, and they say he's a hoax. He prayed for the sick, and nobody was healed. And they just ripped this guy apart in the media. And I read this, and I thought, yeah, you charismatics, that's exactly how you are, you know. And while I read through this, the Holy Spirit said, you got to go there tonight. And I'm like, what? I begin to develop this desire to go to this guy's church. Okay, let's go and see what's going on there. This is going to be interesting. So I went to his church, and I remembered it was half full. You can say it was like 1,200 people. And because half of the people left. Because of the whole newspaper thing, a lot of people left his church and stuff. And I thought to myself, this is going to be interesting to check this guy out tonight now. This must be some devastating to them. And they had praise and worship. He came up. I will never forget. They had a three-piece suit on. I think his shoes was more expensive than my car and that he had on. And he had even a scepter in his hand. You know what's a scepter? Like a kind of a cane thing that he walked. And I thought, man, this is. And I begin to judge this guy. I really begin to judge this guy while I sit there. I mean, I'm now full of religion, so I begin to judge this guy. And he didn't even preach. You know what he did? He came to the pulpit and he read this verse. He said, Jesus, in John 1, Jesus said, whatever you ask me, that I will do, so that your joy may be full. He said, this is a healing meeting. And he walked off from the stage to begin to pray for people. And I thought to myself, whoa, you got guts, dude. You got it, man. After all that criticism, all that stuff. So I sit there now in the audience. I'm sitting in a huge crowd. And he began to pray for people. I said, yeah, I see stomach problem. Yeah, headache. Nobody can see that. You know how we as human beings are. He walked past and he pointed his finger into the crowd at me. He said, sir, have you seen a miracle before? I said, no. He says, well, come walk with me. And I said, me? He says, yeah, you. Come. Walk with me. You're going to see a miracle tonight. Here this guy pulled me out of the audience. I was sitting there judging. So now I walk with him. And he used one verse. Jesus said, whatever you ask me, that I will do. That's his summon. And here we walk, and the next moment he says, here's someone. He prayed for people. He said, here's someone. You're going to go for a back surgery. You have a back problem. I think you have a bolt-up shoe. Where are you? And here comes this guy out. I will never forget it. Black trousers on, yellow shirt. And he had a bolt-up shoe. He had a bolt-up shoe like this. His one leg was shorter than the other one. He said to this guy, sit down. He said, sir, you're going to see a miracle now. I thought, whoa, what audacity. I mean, this guy has something that he can say this. So he said to this guy, I pick the guy's legs up and he said to him, say, I receive healing in Jesus' name. The guy said after him, his leg grow out like that right in front of me. I begin to jump around like the Tasmanian devil. I was not the Tasmanian, but I mean, this was real. The guy couldn't stand. He had to take his shoes on both feet flat on the ground. I remember I drive that night home. I just repent. Those days we repent about everything. I just repent. Jesus, forgive me for judging this guy. Forgive me for judging. But that miracle pulled me out of religion. Pull me out of where I was. That miracle put me out of it. And I begin to search around all kinds of churches. I begin to visit. I remember I went the next week back to that church. And this guy came out with his testimony with x-rays and everything from the doctors. Complete healing. Complete. That's a miracle. Are you with me? But that miracle, Jesus said, whatever you ask, that I will do. He just used that verse. People, you are free to ask. You are free to ask and talk to your papa, father. You're free to ask. And that's why Paul say, be anxious for nothing. But let your requests be made known with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And the God of peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So we say, come to God with your situation. And talk to him about it. Why does he say that to the Philippians? Because those people had boundaries in their hearts. He says, so go back to God. I've telling you who you are. Go now back to God. Begin to pray. Are you guys with me? Until you got peace. Because when you got peace, you know you got it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You may sit down now. Amen. So if you don't have confidence towards God, you have a boundary in your heart. Okay, so let's deal with that quickly, and then we close down. Say to the person next to you, thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. In John 3, verse 19 to 21, listen to what he say here. And by this we know that we are of the truth. We shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, say, my heart condemn me. Not now, I'm not speaking it negative, I'm just saying it's your own heart who condemns you. It's not God. God will never condemn you. Never, ever, ever. It's your own heart that condemns you. Whoa. Your own belief system is influenced by condemnation. Condemnation means you are deceived into punishment. I didn't live good, I didn't live up to the standard, so I deserve to have these troubles. That's condemnation. It's like a death sentence on your spirit walk. He said, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, listen to this. He says, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and know all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, isn't that awesome? We have confidence towards God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. There's that word again. Because we rest in his finished work. Are you guys with me? Because we rest in his finished work and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we rest in his finished work. That's why he say, I love this. He says, we can have confidence towards God when our own hearts don't condemn us. He says here, beloved, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Come on. If you are sitting here today and you have condemnation in your heart, God is greater than that. Are you with me? God is bigger than that. God, see what needs to happen. Your confidence needs to be restored. You need to come to your Father with confidence. See, if you stand with confidence, I look at my grandson. He asked me for something. And I say, okay, I will give it to you. He have confidence. He don't even Warrior One moment, he knows he's going to get it. I won't give him a gun. You understand what I mean by that? You know, but if he asks me, you know what kids ask for? He knows he's going to get it from his grandfather. He is absolutely confident in that. Come on, people. What about church growth? What about your neighbor being saved? Come on. Come on. What about the fact that you do have the Holy Spirit and that you are anointed? What about the fact that you do have the knowledge to share the good news with someone? Come on. Sometimes we have boundaries in our hearts because we fear man. We fear rejection. It's boundaries that needs to come up. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes there's boundaries in our hearts because condemnation is the root of it all. See, fear, Adam didn't experience fear first. People think he experienced fear. He says, I fear because I am naked. But in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 16, he says, because of the offense, it results in condemnation. Because of that offense, that's the first thing that he experienced was condemnation. That's why Jesus say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We know that verse. Are you guys with me? But verse 17 says that the son come not to condemn the world. Jesus came to save the world from condemnation. That boundary that's in the heart, everything jumps from that. If you are people say, let's deal with the root. The root of all negative emotions is rooted in condemnation. When condemnation comes down, all that negative emotions come down. And you stand out as a confident man. Not only confident to God, you're confident in your job. You're confident in your career. You're confident towards other people in life. Business can change because suddenly you are confident when you approach people. People pick up when you are not confident. You will become a leader because I've discovered over 30 years of ministry that leaders are people who are confident in what they do. People follow people who are confident in what they believe. Are you guys with me here? I watch all these evil leaders that you had, the Hitlers and all that. I watch that, and I've discovered on the end of the day, if I look, they were confident, whether it was evil or negative, they were confident in what they believe, and people follow them. It's as simple as that. We got so much more. Come on. We got the kingdom of God that's with us. We got grace. God is with us. We got the Holy Spirit. The Christians and the children of God are supposed to be the most confident people. Listen to what Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is upon you. And then from then on, you will see the disciples is bold. They are bold. That's the same word as confident in everything that they do. They are bold in it. They're confident in it. Amen. So here's the antidote, and I close down with this in Jesus' last instructions. And this is what he say. This is the antidote for condemnation. Can I give it to you? John 14, 25 to 26. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, he will teach. I'm in the wrong verse. John 16, verse 8 to 10. That's the right verse. We will come to that other verse now. And when he has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. People, can I tell you what it means, what sin means? Sin simply means not to believe in the quality of God's life that he has given you. That's how Adam, why did he sin? He separated himself from the quality of God's life. It's as simple as that. Sin is not to believe. Not to believe in what Jesus say about you. So the Holy Spirit will come not to condemn you, but to convict you. Bring a conviction in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And of righteousness because I go to my Father. And that is the antidote for condemnation. When the Holy Spirit reveals to you, see, I can teach to you everything about righteousness. Everything about innocence. But it's the Holy Spirit that will convict you. When he convicts you in your heart of righteousness. Man, let me tell you something. People can't tell me anymore that I'm a sinner. It's too late now. I'm too far away from the boat on the water now. To call me back and say, come back into the boat of sin, it's too late. I'm far away now. Are you guys with me? You can't tell me anymore I'm a sinner or I'm unrighteous. I know that I know that I know I'm righteous. And I'm absolutely not a sinner. Jesus is living in me. I'm functioning by His grace. Are you guys? I'm convicted by it. That's your strength. It starts, that's the foundation of it all. It's the jump, where you jump off. Are you with me? See, and of judgment because listen to what this verse say. And of judgment because the ruler of this world, what did I tell you about the world? The whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. The ruler of this world, he is judged. Are you guys with me? He is cast out. Jesus says, I will drive him out. He's cast out. Why? Because Satan has come with his lies through the world system, through the law, through all these kind of things. He is coming and Dissemble, that's the word. Dissemble your heart. He break your heart down. That's why Jesus say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the broken heart. Are you guys with me? Because through the lies, your belief system has been broken down. And He had formed boundaries in your heart. Are you guys with me? But Jesus have drive him out. He have no power over you anymore. He's been defeated. Amen. Now, the last verse that I want to bring to you, are you happy? John 14, 25 to 26 says, I love this. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Oh, I love that. Listen, you can sit here this morning and your mind and your heart can maybe have a boundary, be broken down in a specific area of your belief system. But the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance. You know that word remember in the Greek means to put together your members again. Remember. To put you together as a child of God again. He will renew your mind with truth. And that truth will put you together again. Spirit, soul, and body. Remember you. I love that. He will bring it to remembrance. He will remind you of who you are. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You are loved by the Father. Isn't that beautiful? You're inseparable from His love. Come on. You're inseparable from His love. He loves you unconditionally. Oh man, I love the Father. I love Jesus. You know when grace comes in your heart, you begin to see people different. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Pastor, Father, we thank You this morning for the reality of Your word, the truth. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here. Thank You that You indwell us. Thank You that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the one that imparts to our lives. You are the one who make known the things of Jesus. You remember us again. You bring to remembrance. And we just thank You this morning, Father, for every person in this place. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here. We thank You that You manifest truth to everyone's heart and mind. We thank You that You break down the boundaries in the thinking and that they come and expand in their thinking of their hearts and their lives change and they begin to walk a new journey that is full of joy and peace. And we praise You for that, Father. And all God's people say, amen. Thank You, brother.
Hallelujah. The boundaries. Wow. Wow. Another translation there that says, guard your hearts or keep your hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, that really spoke to me. Boundaries. And the result of our life, the way they are right now, he said, I'm just thinking out loud, is what the Lord told us today. That the way our life sits right now, whatever circumstances we're in, whatever environment we're living in, is a result of some boundaries that is in our life. So we need to examine those boundaries. That's what I'm hearing from the Lord today, is we need to examine those boundaries. And what did he say? Those boundaries are there because of condemnation. So we need to have the condemnation removed so that those boundaries can be removed and then see incredible things happen in our life. Now, that's what I heard out of that, brother. And so some boundaries were revealed to me in my own heart. Amen. Jack, if you'd just come. Let's give the Holy Spirit a little time. Now, we've received a lot of information and truth. And now let's let the Holy Spirit take that truth. And let's just rest right now. And ask the Holy Spirit to show us where those boundaries are. He said the root of those boundaries is not being convinced, not being confident of who we are in Christ. Those boundaries is always a focus of our failures and expectation of judgment and considering ourselves unworthy, that we don't deserve. But we deserve, what did he say? We have the right to ask. Those boundaries are to be removed. Hallelujah. So now, Father, responding to the cry of so many hearts, and you know who they are right now, the cry of so many hearts, Lord, who have boundaries, and those boundaries feel like disappointments and frustration and giving up and no hope. But Father, I thank you right now that you're healing, that you are releasing freedom right now in the name of Jesus. We come against every thought of condemnation and declare over them the convincing power of the Holy Spirit of righteousness, that they are sons and that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, you're taking the past. You started us out today. And you've gone way back into our past and changed our past and made us innocent. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not condemned because of our past. You've gone back into our past and changed it to we are justified, innocent. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask you if you would just put your hand over your heart, because your heart is the very core, the very soul of who you are. And I'm not talking that thing about the things pumping blood, but at the very core of who you are, the very center of your being. And now, Father, as we take this word that you have given us and this miracle, you said the miracle is in the seed. Now you're going to begin to transform lives. Thank you that by the time the sun goes down tonight, condemnation will be gone. Those barriers, those boundaries will be removed, and a new joy is going to come over them. Joy that is unspeakable. Hallelujah. Joy that is immeasurable and inexpressible. Lord Jesus, their feet are going to get happy. Hallelujah. Lord, it's been a long time since they've had a good hearty laugh and cried tears of joy instead of tears of anguish. All of that, Lord, just come out of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of the freedom that you brought them into today. The truth that set them free, because they know it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In my spirit, I see a woman awake. I see a clock over there on the nightstand, 2:00 in the morning. And I see Jesus manifesting to you. And he come over and he's sitting by your bed. He's sitting on your bed. And he's just having a conversation with you. And he's saying to you, I've always been here. I've never gone. I'm here. Let's just visit. Something's going to happen tonight. You're going to have a renewed, restored, refreshed conversation and experience with the lover of your soul. It's going to bring new life. It's going to bring new life. It's going to transform you. And he's going to hold you like the queen daughter that you are of the king. He's going to wipe away your tears. And he's going to bring new, he's going to breathe new life into you. And he's going to remove those boundaries. He's going to remove those barriers, those boundaries. You're in for a good week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He really is a good, good Father, isn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to just love the Lord and share in ministering to Brother Peter. And there's so much going on in Peter's life you need to know. And I didn't get permission. But God has placed him in a unique position where this grace thing that happened here in 2011 is happening among the Amish. The Amish. Very legalistic. And actually, Brother Will, when you're preaching here, I get to be sharing the good news with the Amish people in Indiana. I'm so pumped, I can hardly stand myself. But it's tremendous what is happening among the Amish, grabbing hold of the message of the grace of God. I'm pumped. But that's what we're encouraging. That's what we're supporting, is this reformation that is happening, not only in the States, but around the world. And it's not a modern message of grace. It's the original thing, guys, that we're coming back to. It's not us. It's him and his finished work. Hallelujah. Ushers, are you ready with the... No? Yes, we are. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word that you've given us. And you said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you for these truths that were given today. And Father, we thank you that we can be a part of now. Somebody else is going to hear the good news of grace. And you're going to change this world, changing this nation one heart at a time as condemnation is removed. And we're glad to be a part of it, O Lord. It gives us great joy to send out the good news by our purse. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.